Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. If you're going to run for school board, there's now a school for you. Earlier, I spoke with the organizer and two students of School Board School. And joining us now is a former member of the Cincinnati Board of Education and the founder and executive director of School Board School. Her name is Elisa Hoffman. Elisa, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having us.
And we are joined by two participants in the upcoming class of School Board School. We have with us Quanice Floyd. Quanice, welcome to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure to have you. And Kristen Sterling. Kristen, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me as well.
Elisa, the Board of Education is, in a lot of cases, sort of the quiet, large government in our various communities. They oversee extremely large budgets. They help hire the main person who makes a lot of hiring decisions in the school districts, which are so important in growing our community's future. What do you think in general about the role of school boards in our communities and the way that the community at large understands that role?
Yeah, that's such a good point and a great question. So, I mean, I know I'm biased having served on the school board and now founding a program to educate our community about what school boards do. But really, I mean, I don't think you can have a strong community without strong schools, right? And you can't have strong schools without strong school districts and strong school boards. And so having school board members who are effective, who understand their role, is so critical to not just the schools functioning well, but to having an entire community that is able to care for all of its people. And I think in general, it is so interesting because the average person doesn't really know what a school board member does. What are they responsible for versus what is your administration responsible for? And when I was a school board member, I could see that frustration often with constituents who would email us or write letters or come to the mic during their, you know, 3-minute hearing of the public and be really frustrated about something that was happening for their child or in their school. And just realizing that, you know, so often it would be frustrating for us as school board members because we'd think, oh, that's not actually in our lane to be able to fix for that person. And so part of the reason I started School Board School was so that, of course, we could have aspiring school board members, people who are thinking about running for school board, understand the role better and be ready to serve the community day one in that role when they were elected, but also so that we could have community members and education advocates who deeply understood this role of a school board member, the role of the administration, so that they could navigate this big system more effectively and more efficiently and really make change for their kids and their community.
This is the third class for School Board School. And back in 2018, when this opportunity was first founded by you, Elisa, you told our Bill Reinhart here at WVXU, quote, "There's no time for a learning curve. When I think about my own time, we were renegotiating our contracts with all of our unions. That's one of the most important things we're going to do in our term, and it started on day one." Do you find that candidates running for this particular office understand both the stakes and the importance of the work that they'll be doing day to day right away?
So I know I often joke that, you know, it's not like a learning curve. It's a learning perpendicular where you like start at the bottom and then you have to be straight up at the top because you are making these big decisions that affect thousands of kids the minute you sit down in that seat. And again, one of the reasons that I was thinking about, you know, when I was thinking about this idea of starting this was, you know, after the 2016 presidential election, we saw this surge in people all over the country and here in Cincinnati who wanted to get more politically engaged, right? They wanted to get more engaged in their community. And so we saw so many more people jumping into races to run themselves, to be the candidate. And school board was one of those. And so I kept having conversations with people locally and again, you know, on the phone from people around the country who said, "I want to run for school board." And then they'd talk to me about what they were passionate about. And I'd say like 90% of the time I would leave that call saying that person is smart and passionate about their community, but didn't understand what a school board member actually does. And so that thing they're passionate about, they actually can't control from the seat of a local school board member. So sometimes they'd say, you know, "I think we're testing, you know, our kids way too much." And I'd say, "Great, then you should run for state rep right? Yeah. Because at the local school board level, you don't actually control that. And so I think really helping potential candidates understand what this role is so they can do it better, but also so they can even decide, is this what I want to do? Or is there some other role or the thing I am most passionate about, I can actually affect change through some other role in a much better way.
So, Elisa, this is a six-month program, School Board School, the operation that you founded after serving on the Cincinnati Board of Education. What happens over the course of those 6 months? I would imagine that it has a lot to do with addressing a lot of what you just laid out, but in terms of format, what happens?
So we really divide our curriculum into three sections. And in our first section, we think a lot about who am I? What are my values? What are the different identities that I bring into this work? How does all of that affect how I see our kids and our community, our school district, and the change I want to make? And we really ground it there in what is my why. And so on Saturday, we just had that session called What's My Why? So Kristen and Quenis just experienced that session. Because one of the things that when I was for the curriculum came up over and over again when I was talking to advocates and activists in the community, when I was talking to current and former school board members or district administrators, they said, you will be challenged very publicly often, and you have to know, who am I? Why am I doing this work? And are the decisions I'm making aligned with my values if you're going to be able to kind of close your eyes and go to sleep at night? And so we really start our curriculum grounding ourselves in our why, and then learning about how the district is currently set up and then how to change systems. And then the second part of our time together over the 6 months, we get into the nitty gritty of what a school board does. And that's policy, district finance, and student achievement. And so we do that by first learning from experts who come in and talk to us about each of those topics, and then going into a school board meeting on those topics. So the school board has committee meetings around finance, student achievement, and policy. And so we get to see the board in action. And then the last section of our curriculum is where our people bring it all together. And so we say, given everything you've learned, what are you going to do? And so I'm sure Kristen and Quenis are already sick of us saying this, but we say over and over again that we're not learning just to learn. We have real problems in our community, so we're learning to figure out what's our role in helping solve those problems. And so throughout their time with us, they're crafting what we call their vision for impact statement. So the specific impact they want to make, and the seat they want to make it from. And in that last section, we're really learning from people who are out there doing this. So whether they're community activists, nonprofit leaders, current and former school board members or city council members, we're learning from them to see what seat do I want to take on. So by the time they graduate from our program, they know what it is they want to do, what seat they want to do it from. And then they're part of this network and this coalition of people who will support them in that work.
That's Elisa Hoffman, founder and executive director of School Board School. It is now welcoming its third class to help prepare potential candidates to serve on local boards of education. And I understand through an announcement from School Board School that this current class has participants ranging in age from their 20s to their 50s. More than 60% are people of color. Almost a quarter of the class are immigrants or the children of immigrants. And a little over half the participants are parents. You also have geographic diversity from the region. You've got 21 neighborhoods, including 13 different Cincinnati neighborhoods, 3 people from Northern Kentucky, and 5 from surrounding suburbs. So let's talk a little bit to 2 of those participants in this current class 3. Quenis Floyd, who lives in the Washington, D.C. area, and Kristen Sterling, who is here in the Cincinnati area. Kristen, I understand that you're a math teacher in Cincinnati, so you're an educator. What has you exploring to be a part of the government side of educating our children?
Yeah, so while I am a math teacher in Cincinnati Public Schools, I am also, I wear 2 hats. I'm also a parent of students who attend Cincinnati Public Schools as well. So I have 2 children who are actually in the same school where I teach. However, we live in Monroe, Ohio. So one of my children, I have 2 daughters, one of my children has high anxiety and adjustment disorder. And so that has really gotten me interested in just exploring a little bit further what school boards are about. at one point, she attended the school district in which we live. And because of, unfortunately, the lack of understanding, I believe, that they had of children of color, it wasn't a good fit for someone who had those type of disorders. And so I actually pulled her and took her to the school where I worked. And we had a much better school year. And it's been 3 years now, and she is doing marvelous. So that has gotten me interested. So I don't know. And like Elisa was saying, we don't necessarily come in, or I did not necessarily come in with the idea of becoming a part of the school board. Ultimately, what I want to do is something along the lines of educational leadership consulting, which is a term that I literally just made up. however, it would be along the lines of coaching principals and coaching people who are school leaders so that they are able to better staff their buildings, better prepare and train their teachers so that they also can deal with students with any type of disability. And so that is what made me interested in school board schools, because in my mind, if I am going to eventually become a principal, which is my, I guess, closest professional goal, if I'm going to become a principal, I need to have some sort of understanding of the people who back me, the people who are there for me and in my corner. So that was what led me here.
That's Kristen Sterling. We're also joined on Zoom by Quanice Floyd, who lives in Washington, D.C. And Quanice, you're also in education. You're currently the executive director of Arts Education in Maryland Schools. That's described as an advocacy organization. You have a bachelor's degree in music education from Howard University, a master's degree in the same subject from Kent State University here in Ohio. What brought you to school board school?
So my background prior to me being at Arts Education in Maryland Schools was that I was an elementary music teacher for almost 10 years. And so within education, the arts are often marginalized within the marginalized group of educators. And so one of the things that I'm truly wanting to do is look at systemic change. I'm really passionate about making sure our students are able to reach their full potential, as well as have all the resources that they need to make things happen. I mean, as a teacher, I loved it. I built relationships with my students, but I saw that there was only but so much I could do within the four walls of my classroom because I couldn't protect them when they left my doors, right? It's really fascinating how education works in that manner, where you just can't, as soon as they go out the door, they belong to the world again. And so I really, really wanted to make, honestly, a better world for my students. And so that's when I started transitioning from the classroom into advocacy work.
So, Quanice, as we heard Kristen say, you know, she lives in Monroe, Ohio, that she teaches in Cincinnati. Monroe is a smaller community. Washington, D.C. is a large community. What are school board elections like in Washington?
So it's fascinating. You have to be elected. Some people vote on you, vote for you. And it's really almost an opportunity for just community members to get involved. And so one of the things that I've been seeing is that there is a back and forth push and pull with our mayor here and the city council. And so a lot of things that shouldn't be happening in the school districts are happening in our school district. It feels like almost a pull of power. And, you know, we can't do that. We can't do that to our students. We can't play political games. We can't try to one up one another, depending on, you know, how they identify their political party. We have to make sure that we're here for the students.
And we're talking about school board school, which prepares potential school board candidates down the line for a run for office. It was founded by its current executive director, Elisa Hoffman, who also served on the Cincinnati Board of Education and is our guest on Zoom. We're also joined by two participants of the 29-member third class at School Board School. We have Quanice Floyd and Kristen Sterling all also with us to talk about this. And Elisa, I want to make sort of the same question to you, because if you're running for school board in the Cincinnati city proper, or if you're running in a smaller town like Monroe, or an even larger community like Washington, D.C., the campaigns and perhaps even the governance itself can be quite different. How does school board school address that?
Yeah, so also I think you're hearing from Quanice and Kristen, but just to be clear too, so we are training both people who want to run for school board and those people who are education advocates who want to find their role in the community. And so just to be clear, like, we believe very strongly you have to have both of those things in order to build the best system for kids, that we can't just elect good people and hope it works. And we can't just get our community members informed and engaged. We actually have to have both of those things. And so as you're hearing Kristen and Quenny talk, they're thinking about whether or not maybe a run or, you know, like Kristen was saying, if I want to be a principal, I better understand this full system in order to do it well. When it comes to campaigning, we really, towards the end, as I was saying, of our time together, when people are trying to decide, do I want to run, we help set them up with campaign consultants and different organizations that help people understand how you campaign well. That's not our lane. We really know there's lots of great organizations that do that work. So everything from Lead Ohio to, you know, She Should Run, Run for Something, Emily's List, all of those groups really are established in order to help you understand how do I get elected. Our role, we believe, is more how do I be effective. So we're not teaching you how to campaign well, we're teaching you how to govern well.
And again, that's School Board School founder and executive director Alisa Hoffman. So Kristen, when you talk about trying to learn how to be a better educational leader, find your footing in a role in which maybe you are a leader yourself in education or consulting for other would-be leaders or current leaders in school, what do you anticipate that you'll take from this program?
Oh, wow. You know, there's so much because with the amount of people you would never believe, but maybe you would. The amount of people who have such high impact in the areas in which they are leaders currently. So just being able to network with them, to me, has so far been the biggest takeaway that I have gained. Being able to connect with people, you know, who are in Washington, D.C., being able to connect with people who have been principals already, who are retired principals, being able to connect with other teachers who are also interested in leadership, but as well as teachers who are interested in switching over to the policy side of things, to the school boards, anticipating, I'm anticipating greatness. I don't know how else to really state that. I think what I have gained so far is well beyond what I thought I would gain over the course of 6 months. And I know that it's only been, you know, like weeks. however, I really truly feel like they are preparing me and setting me up for success to become a transformational leadership consultant, like I said, which is what I ultimately want to do. It was interesting because I went in with the mindset of, oh, no, I know what I want to do. I want to be able to coach those in leadership positions. I don't want to be on the school board. And the more that I get into it, it's funny. I've been starting to hear like, oh, superintendent, right? Now, that's, you know, a very, very, you know, I think far goal. However, it is not out of reach at this point. Before, to me, it felt as if it was. It did, honestly. And now it just feels like anything is possible, just working with the, you know, the amazing people that I've gotten to meet in this short amount of time.
And Quenice, we talked a little bit earlier about the significant impact that a school board has on its community. They choose the superintendent, they set the budget, but a lot of times that flies under the radar, maybe because of lack of media coverage or just lack of general interest from the community in spite of that significance and the large budget that they oversee. And a lot of times it seems to take a big controversy for people to really get engaged with the school board. That's kind of changed this year because of the pandemic, as we've watched a strong focus on school boards considering whether or not their districts will return to in-person learning or stay with virtual learning. And so do you see any potential frustrations for yourself down the road? Do you see any challenges that school boards have in their governance?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're in politics, you have to deal with a lot of stuff, right? You're frustrated with a lot of different people. You know, it's just, it's a part of the work, right? And the work is not easy. when you're trying to serve people and mobilize people, it's always going to be a little bit of a backlash. You're not going to be able to make sure that everyone gets their needs met, but you're going to do your damn best to do so. And so, yeah, I'm thinking about, we need people on the outside and the inside who are both going through their own challenges, but then working together so that there's a systemic change across the board.
And Elisa Hoffman is the founder and executive director of School Board School. Elisa, I'm wondering, you know, as you noted, School Board School isn't necessarily a campaign boot camp where people learn how to run for office, but it may be a scary thing to put your name in the hat to run for office. And your organization primarily focuses on educating folks about how a school board operates and how it governs. But I'm wondering, based on that, you know, people wanting to learn about how a school board operates, but also, you know, looking to launch maybe their first ever political campaign, what's the most consistent question you get from participants as they enter your courses?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I think one, those people who are thinking of running, right? Like, they really ask about, you know, can I do this? So I think one of the things that we hear most about is that, like, need for the confidence. And so I think one of the great things, and Kristen was getting at that with her answer, is that we try to really expose our people to not just like a wonderful and experienced and diverse group of participants that they get to know, but also we have so many exceptional people in our community, on our school board, in our school district, in nonprofits, working on the ground as activists in our community, doing this work already. And so we bring in, you know, dozens of them as our expert guests to teach each of these sessions along the way. And so I think that the more our people get to know the people who are doing this work, they see themselves, right? They see, like, oh, you know, Carolyn Jones, who we've gotten to meet already once at our second session, she is so transparent with her constituents. And, you know, being able to say, when she said, you know, I've lost sleep over these decisions, you know, people get to see, like, she's a real human like me, you know, and she says, you know, I have kids and grandkids, or grandkids and great grandkids in the district. You can see yourself in those people. And so I think that's one of the big questions people always come in with is, can I do this? And I think that is true for the people who want to run, but also, like Kristen was talking about, it's true for the people who want to take on other roles. So I was just beaming over here on Zoom when Kristen was talking about, you know, her vision for what her potential might be has gone from principal to maybe superintendent. And that is so exciting because I think that is what we're also trying to make sure people understand is that, yes, let's figure out what that goal is. And then let's help you build this network, build your knowledge, build your skills so that you can get to that goal.
Elisa Hoffman is the founder and executive director of School Board School. It is underway now with its third class. We've also been talking with two members of class three. Quanice Floyd is currently the executive director of arts education in Maryland schools and may someday be a candidate for school board in Washington, D.C. And Kristen Sterling, a math teacher in Cincinnati Public, resident of Monroe, who may very well be a superintendent to keep your eye on. I want to thank Elisa, Quanice, and Kristen for taking your time today. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.